Paris Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grouds the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
But how come you're so sure you're right?
Look, I've always allowed you the privilege of having a different point of view, like when we argued about whether moral relativism could be applied to the biological imperatives of evolution, say, or whether the universe only exists in as much as we perceive it to exist. But I am telling you, on this one, you are wrong, because there is just no way that Babs was the best-looking one in the Beverly system.
Why did we get into this argument anyway? It's totally pointless.
I know, that's what's such fun about it, isn't it? Now then, where do you stand on Bette Davis versus Joan Crawford?
Oh, not that one again.
Come on.
For the last time, I'm perfectly happy to argue about their relative merits as actresses, but not about which of them would win in a fist fight.
All right, I know how we can settle this.
Oh, no, I'm not watching another of your specially arranged bouts. The last one was bad enough. Fanny Craddock smashed Mrs. Beaton to a pulp.
Yeah, it was a bit one-sided, wasn't it, yeah? Especially after she told Johnny to hold her down, that was...
I don't want to engage in any more arguments about stupid, trivial things, OK? It's a waste of our intellect.
All righty. In that case, I say that the pursuit of science is pointless.
What?
In that, any knowledge man acquires, he always misuses. It always ends in tears. Well, just look at Adam. If he hadn't tasted that apple...
Well, that was your doing, wasn't it?
I was nowhere near the Garden of Eden when all that happened.
Oh, I see. So it was a rare species of talking snake, was it? That just happened to point out the apple from the Tree of Knowledge to Adam and Eve.
There was no snake, no Tree of Knowledge. What's the matter with you?
Well, so what happened then?
Well, God just threw them out for scrumping, didn't he? You know what he's like. He's an angry God. Hates having his fruit nicked. I'm surprised that you're a man of science mistaking the Bible for a factual document. It's a Hebrew version of the Daily Sport.
How can you say the pursuit of science is pointless? Scientists constantly seek knowledge in order to...
To get something named after them, you know, a theory or a disease or a piece of laboratory equipment.
Well, that's very unfair. There are countless scientists who work day in, day out to increase the sum total of human knowledge, who neither seek nor receive any recognition.
Of course, you didn't get the recognition you owed, did you, Prof?
Oh.
Your groundbreaking work on particle physics was credited to your partner.
It was stolen by my partner.
Oh, that's right, yes, Dickie Freestone. They even named the equation after him, didn't they? Still... What does it matter who it's named after, just as long as that sum total of human knowledge is increased?
No, it's so easy for you to sneer, isn't it?
No, I just make it look easy. That's called talent.
Yes, well, it's because of scientists that the universe is becoming more comprehensible. And one day, who knows, man may come to understand it completely. And that'll probably be thanks to a scientist, some driven genius who somehow unravels the mystery and finds the grand unified theory.
Grand Unified Theory?
Yes, it's like the Holy Grail of physics. It would be the theory that unites all the laws of nature into a single statement, that explains how the world of Newtonian forces and the quantum dynamics of the subatomic universe connect in a great cosmic equation.
Oh, that.
What?
Yeah, I know that. It's easy.
Easy?
Oh, it was the first thing they taught us at Angel College, yeah? That and elementary heart plucking. And RE, of course.
But you definitely learnt this theory.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And did you verify it through practical experiments?
Well, given that it was dictated to us in person by God, I think we felt further tests might be a little superfluous. We kind of took his word for it, to be honest.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. So, this amazing theory, do you think I'd be capable of understanding it?
Well, there's only one way to find out. What's that? You, You're shaking like Oliver Reed at opening time.
I can't help it. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, stay calm and pay attention.
Hello there, Thomas.
Oh, hello.
Just doing the rounds, dishing out the old torments. Demon's work is never done, eh? I've just been doing Torquemada. That's always an odd experience.
Really?
Yes, because while you're tormenting him, he keeps complimenting you on your technique. It's a bit unnerving, really. Now then, I think we'll go with scourging. I've got this new flail with envenomed barbs, see? Sort of it poisons the flesh as it rips it open. Are you okay? Oh, you seem a bit depressed.
I can't believe you said that.
Maybe I'm projecting emotionally because, well, I'm feeling a bit down, to be honest. You see, I've been trying for ages now to convince Satan that I'm the demon he should appoint as his new deputy, but, well, he obviously doesn't rate me. Says I've got the intellect of a courgette.
It's a bit insulting, isn't it?
Is he? Mm. I wasn't sure what amount of intellect a courgette has. I wish I didn't need Satan's approval so desperately.
Ah, well, that's your big mistake, you see. If you're needy, you just lay yourself wide open and people take advantage.
That is so true.
Yeah, you have to say to yourself, I don't need anyone's approval. In fact, I don't need anyone.
I don't need anyone.
That's the ticket.
I don't need anyone. That will be my new motto. Thank you, Thomas.
Pleasure.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to flay the skin off your back. Nothing personal.
Fair enough. Ow!
And that is the theory.
Gosh.
Did you understand it?
Yes, yes, I did. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful, grand, unifying theory. And it's not that complicated.
No, no. I mean, you have to remember to carry the seven, obviously. But, you know.
God, if only mankind could possess this knowledge. Still, that's academic, isn't it? I mean, I can't disseminate the information from down here, can I? I mean, I'm dead. So I can't possibly publish. That is right, isn't it? Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I mean, even if you wrote it up, the only way you could get your manuscript published was if someone transported it into the dimension of the living.
Exactly. And someone would have to do that for me, wouldn't they?
Yes, somebody would.
Yes, somebody who can move freely between the worlds of the living and the dead.
Who do I know can do that? Doris Stokes, maybe, or...
Stop pissing about. It's you. You could do it. I'm asking you.
So, you want me to travel to the world of men and arrange for the publication of this theory of everything?
Yes.
With you as the author?
Well, yes. But I only want to publish in order to advance man's knowledge, extend humanity's scientific and spiritual horizons...
And give two fingers to Dickie Freestone.
And that, yes. Mm.
Well, Prof, it seems to me that, in part, your motives are self-regarding and unworthy. Which means I'm allowed to help you. Right. And anyway, I'm quite happy for man to have this knowledge because I know he'll abuse it.
Oh, come on.
He always does, right? He split the atom, released its secrets, and got the H-bomb. He solved the mystery of flight, shrunk the globe, and got Judith Chalmers. It is uncanny. I mean...
Well, I'm confident that man will use this understanding of how the universe works to move on to a new and higher spiritual plane.
I feel one of our bets coming. You know, like our wager on whether the repulsive Thomas can develop a conscience.
Which you haven't won yet, by the way.
I can wait. Being Eternals made me good at that.
So, what's this bet?
That man does nothing useful with your precious little theory of everything.
And what's the stake?
No stake. We just play for smugness.
Fair enough. By the way, where's Thomas got to? I haven't seen him recently.
Oh, I put him in solitary.
Why? What did he do?
Oh, it's not a punishment. No, I put him in solitary because it seemed fairer on the rest of us. But I asked Scumspawn to look in on him from time to time.
Ow!
Ah! Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'm just going through the motions. It's a real down.
Oh, my heart bleeds.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. This new flail cuts deeper than I realised. You know, a bit earlier, I was tormenting this pornographer. I won't go into details. Let's just say it involved two rhinos and a lot of Swarfiga. And all the while, I'm watching this gruesome spectacle, and I'm thinking,
Why aren't I enjoying this?
Really?
Yes. You know, I think I might be suffering from what you mortals call depression. When you were in the world of the living, did you ever suffer from depression?
Of course I didn't. I was too strong, mentally. I never experienced depression.
Some of my staff did. Most of them, actually.
And when your staff went down with depression, how did they get cured?
Don't ask me. I used to have them physically ejected from the building. Yeah, in case it was infectious.
Oh, right. I see. Oh, well, back to the grindstone.
Oh!
You know, I envy you. Ah! I really do. You've got everything sussed. You're so self-contained. Whereas me, I've always felt like I'm incomplete. Like there's a big hole deep in the middle of me. Do you ever feel that?
What, like someone's stolen the core of you and left this bleak, formless void, which means you always have this yearning, this ache for an experience or a feeling that might mean something and fill this dreadful, echoing cavity at the center of your being?
Yes.
No, I never feel that.
No, thought not. You are so lucky.
Oh!
Seconds out and box.
Take that, Crawford, you bitch! And that!
Okay, Bat, you win. You win. Well, I said you would. Well done. Yeah. But stop kicking Joan now. She's unconscious. That's a bit unsporting, isn't it, eh? Yeah, all right.
I finished it. I finished the manuscript. See? So, if you can just get it to the world of the living and get someone to publish it.
Yes. Well, if you're really serious about getting this manuscript published, I just wonder if you've chosen the right title.
Well, why? What's wrong with it?
The Theory of Everything, based on a conversation with Satan. Now, I'll be pessimistic, but I just feel that might raise a bit of a question mark about your credibility as an author. Similarly, this opening sentence. Since my admission to hell, I have had many marvellous experiences.
But it's the truth.
The truth's got nothing to do with it. We're talking about publishing here, and the truth is that if you mention this place or me, then your manuscript will be dismissed as the work of a crank.
So you're saying remove all references to Satan?
Yes, including the one in the list of thank yous.
But then how do I explain having acquired this extraordinary knowledge and insight?
Well, just say you worked it all out for yourself.
Ah, but that would be a lie.
Well, yes, but it's one of those sort of lies that's kind of acceptable.
Why?
Because you'll never get caught.
But if they think this was all my work, then I'll be regarded as some sort of genius alongside Newton and Einstein. No, I couldn't do it. It's just plain dishonest.
Fair enough, that's your decision. It's a shame, though, isn't it, eh? I can just see that book on the bookshelves with your name on it. I can see whole sections of science museums full of displays about your astonishing theory. And I can see Dickie Freestone, sick as a pig in a bacon butty. But you don't want to do anything dishonest, and that's to your credit.
Well, I suppose as long as it ends up in the public domain. I mean, that's the main thing.
Quiet, yes.
I'll just go and rewrite the manuscript.
Prof, given that we do want to get this published...
Yes?
Throw a sex scene in early on, okay?
Hello again, Thomas.
No, that's not fair. I mean, my turn can't have come round again so soon.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Thomas. I have pulled you forward in the schedule a bit because I wanted some more valuable advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, only if you do a deal. I'll give you advice, and in return, you don't lash my back that's a frothy red soup.
No, sorry. Satan would go bananas if I spared you a lashing, but I'll let you into a little secret. I have softened the ends of my flail with fairy liquid. Just for you.
You're all heart.
Thanks. Actually, we demons don't have a heart as such. In fact, we don't have internal organs. Our bodies just contain several gallons of bile.
Yeah.
This bile is yellow.
Yeah. I've seen your bile, thank you.
Have you?
Yes, it comes hurtling out of your ears at jet-propelled speed whenever you get nervous.
Oh, yes, it's so embarrassing when that happens. I'm feeling quite nervous now, actually.
Yeah, well, don't point your ears at me.
The thing is, you see, I tried to take your advice about my neediness and everything, you know. I went around thinking, I don't need anyone. But the more I tried to think it, the more I needed him.
Needed? Satan?
Yes. Even though I know I can expect nothing from him but scornful rebuke, I find I want to be with him all the time. Just trying to please him and look after him.
Are you telling me that you're in love with Satan, the Prince of Darkness?
Yes. I mean, not physically, obviously. No, I'm not a weirdo or anything. But, but emotionally, I have these feelings for him. And what's more, I keep getting this urge to tell him about my feelings.
Tell Satan that you are in love with him.
Yes. And how do you think he would take it?
Well, he's not really the lovey-dovey type, is he? To be honest, I think his most likely reaction would be to tear your head off at your shoulders and shove it up your bottom. So on balance, I'd keep quiet if I was you.
Yes. Trouble is, I'm not sure I can manage that.
Here.
But where have you brought me?
To the land of the living. Well, Islington. Those individuals there, they're the executives of a publishing firm.
Which one's the boss?
The bald one with the stick-on ponytail.
Why do men do that?
I think the ponytail's making a statement.
Really?
Yeah, the ponytail's saying, I am attached to the head of a wanker.
So, who owns this publishing firm?
Okay, so that's agreed. We print around 3 million copies of China, a Beaut of a Country.
Oh, it's one of Murdoch's.
Right. Okay, update on the new Jeffrey Archer novel. Apparently he's only written the first sentence, but the bidding's reached 6 million.
Yeah, but if we do get this, people, let's think multimedia globality, okay? Nothing is just a book anymore. It's a launchpad, a gateway into computer games, CD-ROMs, digital PlayStations. Think synergy, think big picture, think tomorrow, because if you don't think tomorrow, you're already thinking yesterday. So let's kick ass on this one, people.
Yes, thank you, Toby. That would be all. Oh, I'll tell you, that has to be the cockiest tea boy we've ever had. Anything else?
Well, it is this.
Ah, here we go, Prof.
It's a manuscript that I found at the bottom of my inn tray. It's a bit of a mystery how it got there, frankly. It's written in what looks like charcoal, and the paper is scorched in several places. But basically, it's this chap's grand theory of the physics of the universe, and it's fascinating.
And science books are doing very well at the moment.
That's right. I mean, science is the new cookery.
And what I like about this is it feels very millennial. This sort of topic chimes with the mood of the age, reflective, spiritual, post-Diana. So we can milk all that and make a fortune. Who's the author?
Professor Richard Hope. Sadly, he must have sent this manuscript in ages ago, and it must have got lost internally or something, because...
Bad story. That is just so... commercial.
His car hit a tree.
Yeah, even better, now he's got charisma.
We could be witnessing the birth of a cult here, people. Was he good-looking, please?
Really? I'm not standing for that. Especially from a man with a rat's tail nailed to his dome. I'll take my manuscript elsewhere.
Now, don't be hasty.
Look, the thing is, quite regardless of how he looks, the content of this script is remarkable. It's an important, exceptional piece of work.
Now, him I like. He's all right.
Now, I rang this poor chap's widow. She clearly knew nothing about this manuscript's existence, so we can say someone else wrote it and no one need ever know.
Oh, I wish I could read people like you, Prof.
So, basically, we forget Professor Richard, whoever he was, and we say this was written by someone off the telly.
Oh, I can't listen to this.
Now, which celeb is best suited to this book?
Don't think book, think multimedial, think globality.
No, will you just leave the biscuits and get out? Right, so which celeb shall we go for?
Look, please, I don't want to be here.
Well, it has to be someone accessible, but classy.
Intelligent, but not intellectual.
Cool, but not remote.
Phyllis Schofield!
Well, if I wasn't dead, I'd kill myself.
Cool. Hey, this is a good contest, isn't it, eh, Prof, eh? Poor Bette Davis has taken a bit of a hammering this time.
Hey, Marcus Davis, you tight ass bitch!
See, it's all down to aggression. Bette just isn't competing.
You're dead meat, Davis! You're going down! And when you're down, girl, I'm gonna kick your bloody head in!
Oh, what a punch. Did you see that? I never knew Jane Austen was a southpaw. Well done, Jane.
My God, you must be so bored to want to just sit around watching these stupid fights.
There's nothing stupid about fighting, Baldy.
Oh, be quiet, woman.
Do you want some power?
Jane, just leave it. Leave it. He's not worth it. Leave it.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry about that, Prof. Over there, Jane. Go on, over there. Calm down. And wipe all that froth from your mouth, okay?
Why on earth is she so aggressive?
Oh, it stems from her Regency lifestyle, I think, yeah. It was very sedate, you see, all that going to visit cousins who lived in vicarages. It meant she had to bottle things up a lot, you know, but once she turned up here, she just cut loose. I mean, within moments of her arrival, she'd beaten up 12 demons, snorted cocaine with Machiavelli, and rogered Oliver Cromwell and most of his army.
A lot of catching up to do.
Yeah. Then I caught her performing unnatural sex with Catherine the Great.
Well, she wasn't that great.
To be honest, Prof, we had a similar problem when Charlotte Bronte arrived here. Yeah. I was forever pulling her off gypsies. I mean, hey, that's an idea. Austin versus Bronte. What a rumble that would be, eh?
Nope. I don't want to demean myself by watching any more of this vulgar, exploitative trash.
Oh, I know what this huff is about. It's your book, isn't it? Well, don't be so glum. I mean, at least they abandoned that dreadful Phyllis Schofield idea, didn't they, eh? The alternative was a much sounder proposition, because I think Ulrika Johnson's theory of everything could do very well. She's very marketable, and you know, it does mean a heck of a lot of people will get to read that theory.
Well, yes, that is true, I suppose.
That's right. Of course, the people who like Ulrika will be too thick to understand it, but hey, life's a compromise.
Well, I still say you placed it with the wrong publisher. For a start, you should have found an outlet that wasn't controlled by Murdoch.
Oh, yeah, and where would I find one of those?
I mean, those people, they had no respect for knowledge.
No one wants knowledge anymore, Prof. Just sound bites. Little bits of instant, user-friendly fatuousness.
I don't accept that. Once that theory's picked up on, then something positive will come out of what I've done. And then I win our bet. And then I can out-smug you, can't I, eh?
You haven't got a cat's hope in hell. I've never understood that expression. Exactly what hope would a cat have in hell? I mean, not that cats get sent here anyway, because they're not bright enough to be held responsible for their actions, you see. I mean, I know their eyes make them look wise and enigmatic and intelligent, but it's lights on, no one at home. Yeah, a real Anthea Turner job. No. So, no, it'd be unfair to expect cats to recognise the difference between right and wrong, because, let's face it, most of the time they can't recognise their own tail. How did I get onto this?
Master, I...
Oh, what are you doing here?
I need to speak with you. I was wondering if your supremeness has finally chosen his new deputy yet.
Well, I'm about to undertake the next round of interviews, yes. But before you ask, no, you're not in the frame, okay? Because I tell you, Scumspawn, it'll be a cold day in hell. That's another one I don't understand. I mean, we don't even have days here. There is no time down here. That's why no one ever turns up for meetings. I mean...
Master, I think you're making a big mistake.
What mistake am I making?
Overlooking me for the post.
I deserve to be your deputy because of my loyalty and devotion.
You're going to start licking my hooves again, aren't you?
No, Master. No, Master. I just... Oh, it's no use. I have this feeling that it's just too powerful to ignore. It's a wonderful feeling, although its intensity is frightening. And I just want to shout out loud...
What is this feeling?
Well, my prince, my lord, I can't keep this secret any longer. I don't need anyone.
You don't need anyone?
I don't need anyone at all. I'm certainly not in love, and I've never softened my flail with any liquid soap. Whatever you may hear, not that I care what you think of me, because I'm mentally tough.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Scunsworth. But sadly, neither I nor the Professor are fluent in total gibberish. So it rather passed us by.
I don't care. I don't need anyone.
Yes, you said that. Michael, why are you so nervous?
I'm not nervous. If I was nervous, bile would come flying out of my ears. Oh, no, I hate this. Oh, this is such bad news.
Yeah, well, the really bad news is that a lot of it hit Jane Austen.
Wait, Potter! You with incontinent ears! Look what you've done to my bleeding peristyle!
I'm sorry, I didn't...
You see, that's the advantage the Southpaw has. He just never saw that punch coming.
Well, you can't leave poor Scumspawn just lying there.
No, you watch me.
There are times when I really don't like you, you know.
I'll lighten up, Ruff. You've got that funny look again. What are you thinking about?
Well, I was just wondering, when Dickie Freestone fetches up here, as he undoubtedly will, have you got any idea who you're going to put him with?
Oh, I get it. Yeah. You want me to put him with you, you scallywag.
No. It's just that,
Well, what?
Well, he was always rather keen on Jane Austen.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Felicity Montague, Philip Pope and Nick Rebel. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer!